It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Campbell Ogilvie, please take a bow. So ended a piece in all of the Champions League programmes for match day 4. One of the nice things about this season's UEFA Champions League is that Campbell Ogilvie is back. It started. And every match day we should go to his office on the first floor of the main stand at Ibrox Stadium in Glasgow and hang a welcome home banner over the door. Ogilvie, the piece rightly impressed on its readers throughout the 8 European cities that evening, was responsible for all of this. It outlined how his initial vision was rejected and explained how he then modified it down, translated it into various languages and actively door-knocked and campaigned until he made a case that was convincing enough to get the ball rolling. Now, in 1995-96, with its groups of four leading to a quarter-final knockout stage, UEFA had actually eventually been led back to his original concept. It was just 3 days under 3 years since Rangers secured qualification for that very first Champions League. For many in Ibrox that evening, it must have felt like 3 decades. This is Dominant, I'm Martin Ramsey, and to discuss Rangers' foray into the 95-96 Champions League and some other domestic action, and there's plenty of it, I'm joined from Greece by John Cowden. How are we, John?
Fine, thank you.
Good to have you on. And Mr. McGowan is here. Andrew, good evening.
Hello, Martin. Hello, John. Hello, listeners. Glad to be back once again.
Good, good. Walter Smith then went to Geneva on that 25th of August for the Champions League draw. And he did say he was just pleased to be there. I think it was a genuine sense of relief after those 2 years that we've gone into in great detail on the show. But, he was satisfied. I think it's safe to say he could have been more satisfied. I would suggest the Rangers have been in the Champions League proper 11 times, I think, and only twice have we been given a harder draw, in my opinion, 1999-2000, and indeed this year. Rangers did avoid the holders, Ajax, but got Juventus, who were, correctly as it turned out, the early favourites. And Borussia Dortmund with probably the next toughest seed in the draw. Some of the seeds that we missed out on. Nantes, Spartak Moscow, Porto, Blackburn Rovers, who are now sans Kenny Dalglish. And the last two would actually go out of the tournament as well at this stage. We missed Aalborg, Legia, Warsaw, Grasshoppers with some of the unseeded names that we could have drawn. But sadly, we were pitched with old foes Steaua Bucharest, and it wouldn't be a kind of sunny walk in a friendly park this time. Andy, can you remember that reaction to a very, very tough draw?
I remember that the getting past Anorthosis was far tighter than it needed to be, but being there was something in itself, given the experiences of the seasons before. So optimism springs eternal, and I think we knew that Juventus and Dortmund were to use the tabloid cliche, European cracks. And we would have a couple of tough ties at home and away there. I think Steaua Bucharest were much more than our peer group. And we're a team of Gascoigne and Loudrup, so, you know, we probably are thinking ourselves above where we actually were in reality, as we found out.
John, I mean, Juve were known to be very, very tough. I guess we didn't yet know what Dortmund would bring. They were still youngish, developing. They would win the Champions League the following season, beating Juventus, of course, in the final. But we didn't know that at that point. We had battered Steaua Bucharest at Ibrox in that friendly. I do remember a lot of talk about that being like, well, you know, it's between us and Dortmund kind of thing.
Yeah, that would have said it. And I wasn't, at the time, I wasn't frightened of Dortmund. Didn't mean I think we were going to beat them. I mean, now we'd be pretty confident because we'll get a decent record against Dortmund. But then, yeah, you kind of looked at it and you hoped Juve were going to run the card and then just leave it in a straight shootout between the other three of us. And you were hoping, well, kind of expecting you were going to do Bucharest, hopefully take 4 points. And it's down to, you know, can you take 4 points probably from Dortmund? And as I say, hopefully maybe you take some from Juve, but they run the card, you know. And
yeah,
I think it was an expectation of, are we going to finish second or third and it'll be pretty tight.
I think that's
the overall.
Yeah, there was an excitement to be back. It wasn't just shared by Rangers fans. The giddy optimism and excitement on Jim White's face, bless him, as he introduced coverage. Because as a broadcaster, a Scottish broadcaster, he gets to do the Champions League if Rangers are there. He doesn't get to do it if it's just Blackburn. ITV centrally run that whole card. So he's wee happy face as he introduces live coverage of Rangers' first game in Bucharest, in sharp contrast to the absolute despondency and his closing remarks to camera. Rangers were, what, 6 minutes away from a respectable 0-0. Trevor Stephen, who's injured, he was the studio guest at half-time. Terry Butcher on co-coms commented that, you know, Steaua weren't really getting behind Rangers. Rangers are defending very well in this new five at the back, and they are just been limited to long shots. Daniel Prodan sliced one well wide, and Butcher said, you know, Goran would be happy to see a few more of those. This match is obviously heading for a draw. And after Goran saved a Galcha free kick, Prodan got one a hell of a lot closer. We could argue, Andy, that Petric could maybe have shown a wee bit more urgency in closing them down at the edge of the box, but it was one of those one-in-a-lifetime strikes in Eastern Europe that we were becoming kind of heartily sick of, and it was unstoppable. Smith, Rangers fans, the media, all in agreement that the cause for this, and it wasn't just losing Alan McLaren, who was sent off late in the game for violent conduct. Retaining possession is our biggest problem, Smith said. After, we're defending well, but the main disappointment was the way we gave the ball away, and because of that, we never started to play, which meant we couldn't begin to carry the game to Steaua. We didn't really have an attacking purpose in that game, but McCall and Ferguson aren't there. We've got Gascoigne, Miller, Durant, Loudrup all starting. These are ball players, but they were either missed out completely as Rangers just kind of launched artillery fire from deep, or just looked a wee bit frazzled, a wee bit nervous. I'm not sure what it was when they eventually did get the ball. But this theme of Rangers and Scottish teams not using the ball properly in Europe started to become a real thing then, and we are still kind of talking about it now.
Aye, and it's a strange thing. I now think of it as being worse then than it is now, because when you think of Rangers nowadays, and especially the European run to the Europa League final, and even in 2008 when we got to the Europa League final, we played some fantastic possession football, and I think generations of kids are brought up in a far more technical diet than they were then. But we had players there again, we spoke about the guys going loud and so forth, but we then talk about Gordon Jury and we remember his first touch has been something that was pretty diabolical. So it was a big problem for us because I think Scottish football in general was less technically good than it is now. Now, it may be marginal, it may be my imagination, but I do think that was the case. And I think this is where all the... I mean, we'll talk about follow fanzine and the fans' reaction later, but I think this is where the desire to have some kind of continental influence on how we played football and how we thought about football was palpable, because we were constantly showing up in terms of possession and technicality against teams. I spoke of Steaua Bucharest being one of our peers, probably, but we couldn't really live with them in terms of football and technical ability. Yeah. It was a turgid night, that. I remember being one of those ones where you watch from behind the couch and you hope to get out alive, and then obviously Pro Dan has that world there. Wee bit of harsh and petty, do you think? I mean, he could have closed it down, but it was some strike.
It really was. So, I mean, he didn't give himself a lot of room. I'm trying to look at a Rangers case. But John, that goal... that's just right off the top shelf of Rangers in Europe, isn't it? These kind of things, these moments that seem to happen to us and seemingly no other club in the continent. I mean, that just felt typical. It was a garbage game. We have ball players that show incredible possessive skill on a Saturday, but they froze that night. I mean, Gascoigne got a lot of criticism. He we'll talk about him as being a bit of a lightning rod. He said, because we go to beat Celtic the following midweek in the League Cup, and said, look, off the ball, I did my job. And it just wasn't that kind of night for Rangers to have a lot of the ball. But it started to become a real concern. It was a slow, slow night.
Yeah. It wasn't just the man of the goal. It was also the timing. You know,
nearly there.
Let's face it, if they don't score... and you get 0-0 away from home, your first game, and you're saying, okay, we didn't play well, but okay, we'll beat them at home. So, you know, you're mentally thinking, well, that's the 4 points that we thought we might get out of Steaua. And it's the timing and nature of it. I also personally think, and I don't know how much we're going to explore, but you see, we have technically gifted players, but we have two fantastically gifted players, and then there's the gap. You mean Andy mentioned Gordon Jury or whatever, and it's no, the things you can get away with in Scotland, you cannot get away with in Europe. It's exactly what Souness was saying 10 seasons, 9 seasons before. You know, you can give away the ball in Scotland and you'll get it back almost immediately. If you give it away in Europe, you might not see it for another 10 minutes. And this is what's happening. And it's getting worse. But I also think, you know, because Europeans are more technically, they kind of think, well, if you close down Gascoigne and Laudrup or make sure they can. I mean, even by this point, you do get the feeling of certain players that they're never going to pass to. I mean, you can double up or triple up on certain other players and leave other ones standing in the wing or anywhere, and they ain't going to get past her. I don't know whether that's my imagination, but it does feel
that was true.
We have these technically, but it wasn't like consistent, or it was too big a gap in the level of technical ability. And it was the beauty of the race forward of Advocaat coming, that suddenly you get even basic players can control balls.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about Gordon Jury, who was a good player for us, turned in a lot of good performances, but surely someone should have been coaching him on how to trap a ball, and he can trap it further than that.
Yeah, it was a running joke, wasn't it? But it was a really disappointing start. It's going to be hell for Dortmund. Gazza is going to give the Huns a right seeing to, so reported the German newspaper Bild on 27th of September. Their source for that quote, in English, a toothless old prophet in the horseshoe bar. Well, it was very much an approach favoured by most, I think, if Rangers were going to get back in the competition. As the Dutch referee blew that first whistle, the players were serenaded with the theme from the Dam Busters. They won't like it up them. Well, in the end, Dortmund coped eventually, just about, a 2-2 draw. Some similarities with that first ever night against Marseille those few years before. A lot of bravery with the ball, without the ball. Certainly more than they had done in Romania. Had to get back twice on level terms, Richard Goffey and Ferguson. Gascoigne was brilliant. His best performance in Rangers jersey until the following Saturday at Parkhead, perhaps. Dortmund, just on your point there, John, seemingly willing to just give Gascoigne the ball, let him do what he wanted in midfield, but close all the options available to him, so that he really would have to go alone. I want to talk about the crowd, because Walter Smith in his programme notes, I would ask you to all get right behind the team and hopefully we can give you the result we all want. 20 times the previous season, I remind you, the season that was characterised by domestic toil plus Brian Laudrup, Rangers played at Ibrox in front of more than 40,000 people, 20 times. On that night, the first night back in the Champions League, the attendance was 33,209. Now, that can be partly explained by certainly huge gaps in the Brumlin Road end, by Dortmund asking for 3,000 tickets, only using 1,300 and not giving the two blocks back until very late. It's also a period in Champions League history where attendances in general are struggling. People are captivated by the novelty of live television of the tournament, and there's going to be a turning point where the draw of that spectacle that they're watching at home actually ensures people actually want to be there because it looks so glamorous on the telly. But mainly, however, it was blamed on David Murray. The same seat which cost £12 on Saturday cost £27 for the visit of the German champions. Season ticket holders could get the three-match package at the cheapest, £63. Some of them were in excess of £70. Murray said, "I thought it was reasonable attendance given the circumstances," refusing to acknowledge that this was a key factor in the Ibrox match average being down almost a quarter on what was one of the biggest games of the season. Wouldn't be the last time, John, this tension between maximising revenue so that Rangers could afford the best players and marginalising what Rangers did call the grassroots support would be so evident. It's going to become a theme for the rest of this series and beyond, really. Welcome to modern football in more ways than one.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly, I mean, which season we talk about? Is it 95, 96, or is it 22, 23? You know, yeah. The price is, you know, we've been out of the Champions League, we've been moaning about it, we need to get better players, so we sign better players, we get a better transfer policy, or at least, you know, it looks like a strategy about a transfer policy. These guys cost money. I think probably the thing which nobody clicked yet about Murray was, at least nowadays, they've probably already put in the money, whereas he hadn't. But it was this thing, and it was complete outrage at the price. But it was also complete outrage if we weren't going out and spending millions on players. And it was that kind of schizophrenia, which has really continued and caused us so much problems, you might argue, of we want. And I get it. I mean, there is a fine balance, but we're now at the point where TV monies in larger TV markets are going to mean that those can have slightly cheaper tickets, whereas in Scotland, ticket money remains a significant proportion of your revenue, and that's how you maximise it. But Murray, never, apart from those first couple of seasons, he always was a bit aloof, I always felt. And therefore, in typical Rangers fashion, it wasn't just about the price, it was how it was communicated. And am I wrong here in sort of almost Murray when he's in these kind of, like, the meat cake kind of
Not quite there yet. We will absolutely get to that. 2 years later, I mean, the 97-98, I think, is when he's absolute peak. I think this is the starting point. I think he was quite surprised that, I mean, with the cheapest season ticket price, you're what, putting 21 quid a night for Champions League football. Not quite here yet, but soon he will say, well, you'll pay more than 50, 70 quid to see Diana Ross. And fans said, yeah, we don't see her 20 times a season. Even her biggest fans, you know, don't do that quite as often. Andy, you and John are both free marketeers. Just come down a wee bit and fill it out. He got this wrong.
I'm going to laugh when you say the let him eat cake. He's kind of like I am nowadays. So he got this wrong, and it's interesting to look back on it now, because obviously this season we've had a similar situation where the Rangers board have absolutely maximised to the penny what they can squeeze out for the Champions League campaign.
And at least he gave us Gascoigne.
It was the start of the conditioning to this kind of premium cost of ticket. It was just too big a jump. What did you say there? Something like £12 to £27?
Yeah, £12 on the Saturday to £27.
It was just too big a jump to the point where, you know, any even, you know, somebody that was free and easy with their money was going to turn and say, hold on a minute. You know, it was ridiculous. And there was also the kind of starting the seeds of the underlying questioning of Murray and the fanzines and stuff like that. So, it wasn't the opposition, it wasn't the stage, it was the price.
Yeah, I think so. And it's the fruition, I think, of a lot of those fears and some of the earlier fan outlets that Souness and Murray are just statuette spivs. They're taking the game away from the ordinary fan. And to be fair, people lapped it up. I mean, that first summer after we won that first title in 87, you know, season ticket prices were doubling. But the thing was queued down the block, because you know you needed to be, you couldn't risk being shut out, locked out of Ibrox, as fans were umpteen times in that first season of the Revolution. But yeah, the jump is exactly right. A word on the game. It was a decent show. I mean, it was. They're a good team. Very interesting here, Alec McLeish on STV at halftime. Say that Stefan Kloss, he's the weak link in that Borussia Dortmund team. Too small, he's flapping at everything. I think Rangers can get at them, and that explains the Ronald Waters preference maybe all those years later. But it was a good, compared to Bucharest certainly, Andy, it was a good night that night.
I would describe it as spirited. Early on in the campaign, it was. I mean, Dortmund are a good team. I mean, was it next year they got to the final? Or they won it.
They won it. They won it the following year.
Aye, they won it. You know, and so there was cracking players all through that team, and we kind of went toe-to-toe, I'd say. So this is where, when we look back in that campaign now, it's been a disaster. Actually, you'd two very good games against a very good Borussia Dortmund team.
Okay, gents. 19th of October, I'm going to take you to Winchester Crown Court. The jury are there. They've been hearing the trial of Rose West, one of the most appalling criminal cases in British legal history. They were due to leave court and go and visit the site of her former home, 25 Cromwell Street, Gloucester, where, of course, the bodies of those nine young women and girls had been unearthed. Under strict instructions from the judge, Mr. Justice Mantell, not to discuss the case. Anything else, any other topic but this case. He suggested, as an example, a rather depressing performance by Rangers last night. So even in the most horrific of circumstances, the Rangers show in the Stadio del Alpe was still considered to be bleak. Now, the overall story this season isn't one of injury hit disruption, but if there was a short spell in the season that was kind of redolent of those two seasons just passed, it's probably the 6 weeks of October and early November. Brian Laudrup limped off with an ankle injury against Dortmund, and then you've got David Robertson, Charlie Miller, Andy Gorham, Ian Ferguson all out around this time. And crucially, Gascoigne wasn't fit to travel to Turin. The scene, of course, of those famous tears and his life turned upside down. I met him that day. See, I bumped into him, literally bumped into him at Ibrox that day. It was October week. I was there with, I think, my mum's church coffee morning or something like that. They tired out the Thornton Suite or something like that. And the kids were told that Gascoigne was in doing some training, doing some work, and we were given the runaround by the security guards, and I'd given up. And I went down to a burger van that was there, just where Edmondson House had been built, and I got a can iron brew and a Mars bar or something like that. And my head was down, just, you know, eating this Mars bar or whatever, and he ran out and nearly knocked me over. He's Rangers tracksuit on, no t-shirt underneath, I don't think. He just did that over his top. And almost speechless, I said, "Do you think we'll do it tonight?" He said, and he said, "Oh, hopefully," as he got in his car and zoomed away. That night in Juve, I'm thinking, obviously, we record this the week after Rangers were in Naples. Now, I've been nervous before Rangers games, gents. I thought, well, we might lose this. I'm only 14. But I have never, this was the first time in my life that I think I'd sat down to watch a Rangers game in fear. I don't think I'd really appreciated Red Star Belgrade. I mean, John certainly hadn't appreciated them. And it wasn't live, right? You're picking up radio reports or whatever. I knew what this was going to be like. And I knew the Rangers team was not really going to be up to it. I mean, McLaren suspended because of that red card. McLaren would be suspended for three other games after that. The loss of his two best players. I mean, Smith has a bit of a selection nightmare. He might have rearranged the deck chairs on the Titanic slightly differently. He might have put John Brown in that three-man defence, put Craig Moore into midfield to support McCall, even use a natural midfielder like Durant to do there, with maybe Selenko on his own in a kind of 5-4-1. Should be said, a younger Mark Hatley could have spearheaded that, but he was no longer at Ibrox. His Rangers career, we thought, had come to an end. He joined QPR in September. In the end, you've got a midfield three of Gordon Dury, Stuart McCall and Alec Cleland, with McCoist and Selenko up front. Within seconds, it was kind of obvious what kind of night it was going to be. Gorham's made a double save within that first minute. They went ahead after 15 minutes, 2 minutes later. Somehow, a ball is put across the Rangers box with six Rangers players in it, and no one gets near it. Antonio Conte does. The roof's caving in. Before the match, beautiful moment of television. Jim White asked Alex McLeish about this prodigious young talent, Alessandro Del Piero. A fine prospect, McLeish said, but he was confident that Richard Goff and the Rangers defence would have enough to deal with him. My word. Del Piero scores the third. He torments Alex Cleland, of course. Cleland then searches him out a couple of minutes later, responds with that typical Scottish violence. Immediately ordered off. He's embarrassed. They get a fourth, which is typical of everything. Just Craig Moore just launches the ball up for Selenko. Ciro Ferrara is quick to get there first. He heads it away. Ravanelli sprung into action. It's so, so simple. Goff gets a deflected consolation. But it really, really is a night of reality dawning. I don't know if either of you were there or where you watched it. The night itself, I'd like your reflections on, but also this thing about a youthful talent. A 20-year-old Charlie Miller was regarded as the future. Not quite there yet. I mean, don't be ridiculous. Don't put so much responsibility on the shoulders of someone so young, but he's doing well. And one day, in the next few years, he'll be a good Rangers player. He's 19, sorry, Charlie Miller at this time. Del Piero's 20 and he's running the show. That was a kind of, I found that strange. Like, why don't we have kids like this? Why don't we just, you know, give youth that kind of responsibility? It was a chastening night, Andy.
Chastening's the word. So I echo your fears, because obviously a team selection was severely hamstrung, and you knew you're going up against a really good, good was an understatement, a really top team. The name of Del Piero had kind of came out because incredulously we would hear that, you know, Juventus were getting rid of Baggio because this young boy was so good. And McLeish's kind of naivety there, I know it's probably not naivety, but it's bordering on it. The guy was sensational, but there was also other players in there from front to back in that Juventus team that were top class. Ravinelli was at his peak at that point. And watching that game was, I mean, there's echoes yet this season. I've got to say, when we're watching against Napoli and Liverpool and teams like that, and we're, it's a rear guard action and the goalkeeper saving us and keeping us alive, it's the exact same scenario. The difference is that back here, in 95, 96, we had, well, what we now know were delusions of doing something in this competition, of competing at the very top level. It was a tough, tough night. I mean, Goff's goal put a wee bit of sheen on it, but it gave us something. But it was a rude awakening, even despite the challenges we had through injuries and suspensions and stuff like that. It was a rude awakening to where we actually were in the food chain.
John, tally's 4, Wally's 1. That was the sun the next morning. It was humiliation, but I certainly feared that. Did you go? Did you go to Italy? I mean, you'd quite optimistic.
Yeah, I fancied going to Turin. I went. It was a cracking day as all European strips of Rangers are up until the kickoff.
Yep, nothing's changed.
It's quite one of the most depressing games I've ever been at. You know, you look at the two score lines, the home and away, but they're two completely different games. Mm. This one, they're 3 up in 23, and I don't think they chuck it, but I don't think they get the first gear
it's the Italian
in the
thing
first
going.
25 minutes, yeah. But it's certainly were neutral. And I think it was, and there might have been other reasons for this, certainly there were court cases which there was evidence that suggested it wasn't even just the technical, which you kind of expect, you know, Italian teams. They were physically
huge,
bigger, stronger. I mean, there will be Italian coaches, will be calling them the pharmacy a year or two later and all sorts of EPO. But when you're watching it on the night, we are all Alec McLeish. I mean, if you've picked out two of McLeish's quotes, but that is the way Scottish supporters, we would think. Foreign keepers don't like crosses, they flap at them. And, you know, they don't like it up them. You know, we'll run them into the ground and all of this. And it's, you're looking at that night, they're not even trying really, but they're physically stronger, they've got everything. And as you see, we're talking about Charlie Miller, he's 19. To me, because I was brought up in the 70s with Johnson and Parlane playing at a high level from early, I'm thinking more like the Del Piero mood of, well, if he is good, and he was good, but we shouldn't be saying, oh, he's just a boy. He's in there.
Yeah.
But it just was, it wasn't the scoreline, because we'll go forward 2 weeks and I do have a very different opinion of that game. But this was just, I remember standing there. Actually, my mother was there and my father. And she said afterwards to my uncle, she said, just looked along after 20 minutes and I'm standing there, arms folded, sullen-faced. It wasn't anger, it was just, oh no. And it's, maybe I'm too, whatever. What's happened this season is not unexpected to me. It always had the chance to happen, especially in a tough group. Back then, you didn't think you were going to get hammered. When it came, it was a genuine, how can that happen? This doesn't happen to us. There was a real shock and awe element to this of, we're miles off this. On all levels, not just technically, physically, conditioning, on every level, we are not at the races. And that was at the forefront that night. And it was, for me, it was one of the most depressing nights watching this.
Because it's reality hitting, really, isn't it? So for the return, everyone, again, McLeish and many others are saying, you know, need that Marseille night, need that spirit. The slow game doesn't suit Rangers, McLeish says, before the game. And yet, at half-time of the Ibrox game against Juventus, Trevor Stephen is bemoaning again this issue of possession. You know, we're too harum scarum, we can't keep the ball. So what's it to be? Is it cool or is it passion? Is it a focus on, you know, spirit or is it technique? And the post-mortem after this game, not on Rangers alone, but in Scottish football, kicked off, really kicked off, and probably hasn't finished. One letter to the Herald's scorned Rangers, other Scottish clubs, for even trying to play a continental style. Don't do it. They're far better. And what good is that in a muddy Scottish pitch all through the winter? You know, Andy Gray would say pretty much the same thing years later about Messi and Stoke and all of that. Instead, we should never deviate from a game based on speed, pace, athleticism and getting the ball quickly from one end of the pitch to the other. Another opinion piece in the Herald, though, said, look, passing the ball should be easy for anyone who calls himself a professional footballer, yet the trouble British teams experience with this part of the game is astounding. Teams like Rangers and Celtic have to decide exactly what they want. If they're content with a Scottish title, which guarantees them the opportunity to try and qualify for the Champions League, that is fine, but they should say so and make it clear that they are interested only in the riches available through qualification. However, if they believe they should be more than bit part players at the top level, then they have to admit they are way behind schedule. We must rethink the strategy because the current one is not working, even though Rangers' David Murray insisted yesterday there will be no change in our policies. Again, in this year, the same conversation's taken place. I think I'm going to agree with you, John. The scoreline 4-0 at Ibrox, slightly more misleading than the first. At 1-0, Gordon Petric hits the post and Juventus pretty much spring up the other end and Ravanelli toys with the Rangers' defence. Before knocking it in. No Gorham that night. He's got a slight knock, so we've got Billy Thompson in goals to deal with fucking Fabrizio Ravanelli. Petric is caught between two stools for that first game because we have had to go back to the four for that night only. He doesn't really know where to be and he loses his man. Stephen Wright gets a bad injury that night. Unlike these small niggles that are causing us a bit of problems, he's done. Sadly, and a real shame because I think there was a player there personally to compliment David Robertson on the other side. Tally's four, Wally's out was the Sun's headline the next day. Wasn't strictly true, actually. Incredibly, Rangers still had a chance to qualify for the quarterfinals of the Champions League with two games to go. But regardless, Smith was not happy at those headlines and he chucked the Sun's Kenny McDonald from a subsequent press conference. I want to talk about the reaction to these Juventus ties. Fall comes out, there's an addition after the away game, there's an addition immediately after the home game. And the first one, they're stark, by the way. The opening lines are stark. Mark Dingwall is very phlegmatic after the Turin game. He said, look, it's a footballing lesson. The players didn't disgrace us. They didn't disgrace themselves. Juve are a class apart. It's always likely to win. And look, these are the kind of games that are required to push us and to develop us. There's no drama here. The first line of edition 51, published in November 95, read presumably from the same pen, there comes a time when the whole operation of a football club needs to be looked at, before finishing with a suggestion that the fanzine should have their version of the SFA think tank to see what's going wrong with Scotland. The tone is just sombre throughout. There's a lot of demand for change in the management team. Archie Knox, David Dodds, what are they there for? Do Juventus have someone basically just there to swear at players? There's a suggestion that Rangers should try and tempt Fabio Capello from Milan to just oversee, but the same people are arguing that, yeah, but get Tommy McLean and Jimmy Nicol and Alex McDonald, former Rangers heroes that are in Scottish management at the time, get them involved as well. And again, there's this, I think, irresolvable tension between wanting and craving this continental sophistication, but still known guys who, you know the words to Derry's walls and keep that kind of tradition going. And another thing I want to make clear, Rangers fans were positive and confident and optimistic about this home game. It wasn't just because Gascoigne was back or that Juve had lost 4-0 to Lazio on the Sunday and could, you know, be got at. There's an Ibrox thing. Rangers had lost four times in Europe at Ibrox in the last 20 years, the biggest margin being 3-1. It wasn't a ridiculous notion that Ibrox will be different. Turin, well, these things happen. Was it really that different from Belgrade? It can happen, those nights can happen. But I think this night was something else. Ibrox was different. This was a loss of innocence. a real realization of just where Rangers were in the pecking order, and that pluck and that spirit that gave us this romantic run in 92-93 just won't cut it, won't remotely cut it anymore at this level. It's only been 3 years, but as I said, it might as well have been three decades. So much has changed. And I think there's a realization that night, guys, that all right, you can have a bad night away, but no one does this to Rangers at Ibrox, not since the 60s. And things have changed, John.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think it was. I was pretty not confident. I thought we could give them a game that night, in a similar way to the game we gave Dortmund. And that's what I'm saying. That the 4-1, I really was depressed after. Yeah. It's a 4-0. They scored what, two late on.
Yeah, chasing.
Did Gorham go off at half time, or is my mind going? And Thompson came on. But it just they were better, but. I didn't think there were 4 goals better that night, but and I would say in Turin they could easily have been 10 goals better if they could have been bothered.
Mm.
But there is this thing of, and you're just pointing the two opposite things. You can have a balance. You can play with a bit of pace and passion in the Scottish way, but you can also control the ball and pass it. And that's the bit that was, I'd know. General issues with Smith or indeed Archie Knox as individuals, but we didn't have a balance. We didn't have who's the guy that's bringing the technical stuff in that means people can trap it, they can pass it. And I don't expect us to be as technically gifted in certain areas because we do have other skills. But it's when the gap is so wide, and almost apart from, would you say, Gascoigne and Loudrup. Can anybody actually trap and pass the ball in another team? And it's too big a gap again. It's like, and Advocaat showed it, and he didn't just show it with bringing in high-paid Continentals or whatever. You could actually see some of the Scottish players technically advanced in that time, or some of the players who were there, because they could start to control the ball.
Mm.
They didn't have to, 100% focus on bringing the ball down. They could actually just bring it down and also be looking up for the pass. And that's where we've got to get it. And it's the same in the management team. You might have someone who's a bit more blood and thunder, but you also want someone who's tactically, technically, coaching-wise, far superior Continental almost. And we either seem to be one or the other. We either seem to be blood and thunder, or when we try our Dutch experiments, we lose quite a bit of passion.
Mm.
And we do need that. And I think that also because the fans get 42,000 against Juventus. But there is a bit of a grumble of still on the prices. It's a sore. You're not... In Europe, we perform our best when everybody is united.
Yeah.
The fans or whatever behind. And we weren't this season. And there is a divergence and there's a lot of things. And I thought Mark in his first issue was probably being a bit generous, but I could see where he's coming from. To write to whoever wrote it 2 weeks later, I think it's really going overboard. But that is the pain of getting 2-0, 4-0, 4-1 back to back.
But would you agree? Yeah, it is emotion speaking for sure. But would you agree that it's because it's at Ibrox that's really started? That this is. This doesn't happen to us. Juventus, they could probably go and win the Champions League. Right, well, 3 years ago, we played the team that went on and won the Champions League and they couldn't beat us. You know what I mean?
I mean, I saw the greatest team I've ever seen, which was my first European game of career. It was Ajax, beat us 3-1. Johan Cruyff, Neeskens.
Hmm.
And we competed better those nights. Okay, it was the first Super Cup, but it was effectively friendlies. This was, until this point, And the cat gave us back. There's been brief flashes, and even Gerard, it's not just Gio.
Yeah.
Brought back Ibrox under the floodlights. Magic can happen. And we lost that magic till Smith leaves.
Yeah.
And it's, we it's didn't not just really, lose it this season.
It's not back
we lost the Gothenburger in AAK. Yeah. I mean, it's really. And it's. After this, we went into European games at home. With let's not get embarrassed.
Yeah, it's fear.
And that is our underlying ambition until Advocat gives us a bit of respectability. But there are significant blips after that as well.
Yeah. Andy, do you think there's something in that? This Ibrox loss of innocence?
I think there's a lot at play here. I think there was things that we knew in our heart of hearts that we could no longer ignore. We're training at a cricket ground. We're getting a minibus to there. But we've got the nine in a row factor where we're turning blind eyes to things because we want nine in a row before European glory, or do we? I think also there's a realisation that, you know, we are not a poor club. This isn't like our situation now where we have to watch every penny and, you know, recruitment is the buzzword. That is the thing that is getting questioned nowadays. Back here, we were throwing money and almost to a certain limit, but a very high limit. We could buy anybody we wanted, subject to, you know, three foreigner rules and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Stephen Wright was a good example. We went out and spent more than we probably needed to, and the best player Aberdeen had at the time. So we're throwing money at it, and we're still not getting any further forward, and we still can't pass the ball.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things that are coming to an undeniable conclusion here. And the thing with the fanzine that I find interesting is that this isn't Twitter, this isn't instant knee-jerk reactions. The process of making a fanzine was one where, you know, it had to be written, it had to be submitted, Mark had to edit it, it had to get published. So it would have been done pretty quickly after the game, but it's not your instant knee-jerk reaction. So something changed, something broke at that game, and I think you're right, it's because it was at home, but use the phrase a loss of innocence, I think it was the delusion was finally lifted. We actually knew what the truth was.
Yeah. The next game, we'll try to be relatively quick here. I mean, Gorham's back and brilliant, and Gascoigne is also brilliant, scores his first ever European goal. Wasn't enough. Rangers' theoretical chances disappear that night. Andre Elia, an intelligent move, 1-2 finish. And Stoyev's passing and movement that night again highlighted what Rangers lacked, and their manager, Dumitru Dumitriou, afterwards said basically what John's been saying quite a lot tonight. There's no point in having players like Loudrup and Gascoigne if no one else is on their wavelength or no one else is prepared to do anything else. Gascoigne's goal, which he takes the ball in his own half and just runs because he has no other option that either has or trusts. I mean, he does actually quite a lot this season. It's not going to happen every week, and it's certainly not going to happen every Champions League match day. It's just, it's completely unrealistic to rely on that. You need a team of technicians, not just a couple. Now, gents, we'll pause again before we do crack on. There's a school of thought that, you know, this campaign just joins the rest in this kind of mid-90s hall of shame when it comes to Rangers in Europe. Ike Athens is definitely there. The ones that will come after this series are absolutely there. In my younger days, because of the Juventus humiliation, I would have put this in there as well. I have mellowed a wee bit and I've kind of reassessed, I think. I don't think it deserves that harsh a treatment. You've got a Juventus side that were going to win the tournament. They would be in the next two finals after that. They could give an understrength. And let's be honest, you know, Gary Bowen's playing at Ibrox, right? Billy Thompson's playing at Ibrox. As an understrength Rangers team, I do. And that can happen. It can happen twice. The two very entertaining 2-2 draws against Borussia Dortmund, who are going to go on to be European champions, no disgrace at all. I guess the disappointments are the Stoya games away from home again, 6 minutes from respectability, and we didn't really believe when it came to Ibrox. You know, Smith had his, and this team that he's going to have, this settled team, is really going to come around the new year and pretty much stay there for the rest of the season. If he'd had that in October, November, I think we'd do a lot more than 3 points, personally. I don't think it deserves to be kind of lumped in, despite the Sun headlines about the Wallies and whatever. Even though the score lines don't quite match up in Athens and what's going to come in the next two seasons, I think there's a lot of mitigation here, Andy.
I think when you look at it now, that is the case. I think the, you know, the media thing and the reaction, we were there to be kicked because we were winning everything sight. We're unstoppable. Yeah. You know, I remember seeing Celtic fans nicking about with Juventus strips on as if it was some badge of honour, you know. So it did get magnified to probably more than it actually was in reality. But it wasn't, you know, we didn't get beat 4-1 off Emdy. We didn't get beat 4-0 off Emdy. So the fact that Juventus and the best team in Europe didn't really matter. It was just the way it was at that point in time. And we did present ourselves as being one of the biggest clubs in Europe and aspirations of that nature. So it was, I suppose, it was, this is when I say it was chastening and it was a rude awakening because we weren't where we thought we were. So you're right, Martin. It was mitigation. I mean, Juventus were juiced. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Now, when we look back, I remember seeing the videos of the way they trained and they used to run up man-made hills and all sorts of space-age stuff that we think back then was brand new and groundbreaking. So we could have done better, but it was not as bad as it was at the time, or it felt at the time. But we were in that microcosm, that microscope was on us, and the whole of Scotland were willing us to, you know, get beat. That's the truth here.
John, very quickly, have we been too harsh on this campaign? I mean, on the face of it, no wins, quite a fair amount of goals conceded, etc. But I think that there probably is a lot of context that needs to be taken into account.
I think it is harsh. The Juventus, in hindsight, were a world-class team. Technically, yes, and physically probably helped. But if you look at the fine margins, you know, you hold out in Bucharest, or indeed you beat Bucharest at Ibrox. I mean, that's the night that, because Juventus have ran through the cards.
Yeah, they could care.
They don't care, and Dortmund beat them in the Stadio delle Alpi. But if we beat even all the other results, if we actually hold on and beat Bucharest and Juventus do the business, we're going into the last game playing Dortmund in Dortmund with a chance of being second. And if you ran this season again or whatever, or tried, I still, at the outset, even knowing what we're knowing at this point, my thinking wouldn't change. We're probably going to lose both of Juventus, but hopefully they beat everybody. And it's a shootout between the other three of us, and we have a decent chance. And we weren't disgraced that we didn't play brilliantly, but in the other four games, what was it, three draws and an 85th minute loss? And that was us not playing well and with injuries. Mm. It's not quite up there with the Grasshoppers Zurich or some of the other ones we're about to come on to. In no way, because, I mean, you can look at this and you can say Juventus go on and win it, and then the following season Juventus go and play Dortmund in the final. I mean, you can see we have to improve, we have to be better, but this is part of a learning process, which Mark says in the first thing. But at least you're getting beat by good teams.
Yeah.
Which that isn't always the case.
No,
I know what you mean. Really, you know, they're good. I mean, these are really
exceptional
good teams.
It's the best around. What's clearly obvious, we're still too reliant on these two gods to do our work. And on this footballing mountain, I would argue the highest peak in the sport, those gods can be sacrificed just as easily as they're exalted. And so it was in the freezing cold of Dortmund on the 6th of December. Paul Gascoigne started very well. He set up, or helped to set up, the opening Rangers goal after 10 minutes, splitting the defence. Laudrup scored. Dortmund recovered. And that just mounted frustration upon Gascoigne. He's booked in the first half for a heavy challenge on Andres Moller, and then Rangers 2-1 behind, really berated the Spanish referee for not giving them a penalty, giving Rangers a penalty, which led to a second yellow and obviously an ordering off. Gordon Jury warmed those frozen souls, and it was frozen. Walter Smith complained, quite a lot of people complained actually, about the state of the pitch. No concern for players, you know, the game has to go on. Gordon Jury got a late equaliser, but all the focus was on Gascoigne. Jeremy McNee, I think, had been waiting for this night. Couldn't wait to get his Sunday Mail column out. Gascoigne has to go. There can surely be no argument about that. Not long after he signed, I forecast he would not be at Ibrox next August. Rangers must wait, or must not wait that long. He badly let down teammates who'd battled for the club's damaged pride. He let down a manager he claims to admire. He made much of that admiration of Walter Smith when he arrived at Ibrox in Dortmund. He stabbed him through the heart. Characteristic hyperbole by McNee. But even the most sedate Herald pondered that, you know, can this continue much longer? The road that Gascoigne appears to be destined to be torn between greatness and disgrace. It's a pity, but so far he has been more trouble than he is worth to the Ibrox club and the Scottish game in general. What I have to get over is that this is more of a consensus view than people remember. Smith in Dortmund was forced to come out and say, look, the player's going to have to look at himself because his descent is happening too many times. Now, that's as far as he would. He had gone by that point. He had to dismiss speculation that Rangers were going to sell him to Chelsea a few weeks before that. Even fans in the hotlines, the fanzines, strong defenders of Gascoigne normally. Walter Smith should be banging his head off the dressing room wall. One wrote, his discipline is appalling. He vanishes far too often in games for my liking. He's also playing far too deep to hurt the opposition. I guess nothing's changed because, as ever with Rangers, the noise around the club is either amplified or tempered by results, and the European struggles obviously did nothing to help Gascoigne's case, even if he, with Gorham, had some fine individual performances. Domestically though, chaps, this is becoming maybe the stickiest part of the season, but again, maybe more perception than reality. Rangers went to Parkhead when we left the pod the last time, behind Celtic. Won that day, go top of the league. By the time of this Dortmund game, Rangers are 4 points clear. They're undefeated in the league. Gascoigne's brilliant. He's scoring goals. The goal against Hearts at Ibrox, again, one of these other runs through the hearts of teams, was absolutely superb, and it would be better remembered if it wasn't for all the other times he did it. Maybe even better remembered at the time if it wasn't for other aspects of his games. There was a good game against Aberdeen up at Pittodrie. See, a good game, good result. 1-0 win. Craig Moore popping up with a goal. Rangers were pretty poor, actually. Aberdeen absolutely battered us. Just didn't happen. But sadly, they would get the revenge soon enough. Firstly, at Hampden, League Cup semi-final. Coca-Cola League Cup semi-final. Now, Aberdeen had got the better of Rangers but once in the last 10 years at Hampden. And again, this was the week after Turin. Injuries a problem, no balance, no Loudrop, Robertson, McCall, Ferguson, and crucially Goff. Although very revealing that Ian Durant doesn't start, that's his place in the pecking order at this time. You've got a midfield, effectively a Moore and McLaren kind of popping in. I mean, it's all a bit of a carry on to support. Gascoigne get frustrated. He gets a bad chance for Paul Bernard. He reacts with his elbows again. He was booked. It could have been worse. But as a result, he's very subdued. The second half, he's pretty much non-existent. Aberdeen go 2-0 up. The first goal is very fortunate. The second goal's a disgrace. Salenko gets a goal back, but
at Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Quite a frustrating evening, guys, because this team, as we're going to go on to over the next couple of episodes, a very, very good Rangers team. I would suggest technically Smith's best. Probably deserving of a treble, but you know, we let that slip through our fingers that night, Andy.
Yeah, but it was a crap goal. I mean, it wasn't. You watch that goal, and was that when John Brun makes a poor attempt at a tackle, and then even the goalie should have done better. It was cheap to do that, because as you say, the treble was there for the taking. And Aberdeen, you know, we're not Aberdeen that we've spoken about in previous episodes. They were on a slide, and really it was just Dodds and a couple of other players that were worthy. So, aye, poor night. And you just wonder, you know, the impact of the European travails, if that was bleeding into the domestic stuff.
John, for all the humiliation and all that, this is probably the worst night of the season.
Yeah, it was definitely the worst period. I mean, the Hearts result, if you actually look at that sort of two-week period, I mean, we go out in this night, we draw at Raith Rovers. It just doesn't feel like it's us in a weird way. And, I mean, the first goal is a bit of a shot. The second goal, I watched it again today, and I was thinking, who's that supposed to be? Martin Billy Dodds at the back post, because you see a shadow, and when it shows you again, it's actually another Aberdeen player.
Yeah,
they're queuing up at the back post. It is frighteningly... And then you see the goal that we get back, and you're thinking, how've we only managed to score one against Michael Watt? Because, I mean, you wonder if it's a deflection or whatever, and he just gets beat. But it just is dispiriting, and there's probably Jace. Does he do a bit of keepy up in the 90th minute or whatever?
I'll take a slight issue, Andy. Aberdeen were nearly relegated the season before. They're never the Aberdeen that challenged Rangers, of course, before, but this is a good season for them. They go in and win the Coca-Cola Cup, beat Dundee in the final, and they're giving us games anyway. This is Jess's kind of swan song. He'll disappear at the end of the season to Coventry, but he was superb that night. And sadly, not only that night, Aberdeen visited Ibrox on the 11th of November. The result was marginally better, but in a way, consequences far worse. This is in the league, of course. Horrible game, horrible weather. Jess scores a fantastic opening goal, long range effort. Salenko again. Once more, the man to help rescue us and get us something. But that's not why the game was remembered. Gary Bowen actually sets the tempo here, or the tone, should I say. He loses control of the ball, goes right through Joe Miller, right over the top of the ball, stud showing. John Rowbotham is the referee. He's a FIFA referee, he's Scotland's best. Doesn't even book him. Has a word, a wee pat in the back. Seconds later, it's Gascoigne. Passion's high. He's held back by John Ingles. Gets the free kick, but he still lashes out. He's a bit of a rhino charge on his ribs. Again, no action taken at all. In the second half, Gascoigne goes off his nut at Rowbotham for, you know, giving him into trouble for elbowing Stuart McKimmie in the face. He does get booked, and then he's hooked immediately for Durant because he is about to absolutely blow over. There's no real danger in that rhino action, as it were. John Ingles was fine, but this is a post-Duncan Ferguson world who is now in jail for events on the field. Procurator Fiscals was called to have a look at this. There's another event in the game near the end. Billy Dodds, John Brown, Alan McLaren, all involved. A spate of incidents at the time. Alan Lawrence of Hearts was headbutted by Craig Moore. Some other incidents of the kind of lower leagues. So if the SFA and the law were going to act, they had to act. If they're going to act in a high-profile case, i.e. Gascoigne Rangers, they're going to have to do everybody, and that really wasn't going to happen. Gascoigne ended up with a two-match ban in December, but it understandably led to a lot of fan and columnist smug "I told you so" kind of columns. None of this is new with Gascoigne. We know the 91 FA Cup final. He is a man weighed down. He's got this razor thin margin, doesn't he, between genius and reckless self-destruction. He's weighed down by this crippling anxiety, insecurity, hypertension. And he's a player, he's a man that's seemingly only happy when he has the ball at his feet. And when that possession is challenged, he reacts kind of angrily. He spoke about the Aberdeen game when he went away with England. He said, "Look, I went out on Saturday nervous because I didn't want to get beaten. I'm trying so hard. I'm blaming myself for everything. Everybody wants us to get beaten. Every time we do, they slaughter the team. The lads are feeling it. If they're going to look at the video of the game, then the Scottish FA also have to look at the video evidence of some of the other decisions given against us. I don't think people realise how much pressure we're under. I'm not saying I'm victimised, but sometimes I feel I need a wee bit more protection." when that dust settled, that short ban, I mean, two games in December, easily absorbed by Rangers. But John Rowbottom, however, was heavily criticised at the time, pilloried. And in years to come, as we will eventually get to, he would not show that kind of leniency, which arguably could have diverted the course of Rangers' history. But that game was horrible, Andy.
Yeah, and I think now we look at this with different eyes, because obviously mental health, I mean, there's something on the TV as I speak tonight about the fact that mental health has moved so far forward. There was a survey about 20 years ago what we spoke about in terms of mental health. This is 27, 28 years ago. Mm. And if we knew then what we know now about Gascoigne and his situation, then it probably wouldn't get any more sympathy, but I think there would be a bit more understanding of it. And I think we also need to work out that there was things going on in his life that, you know, we didn't know about. Like, I think his wife had left him at this point, and he's living up in Scotland, and
yeah, you know,
his personal life is an absolute train wreck. And it's really football and his relationships within Rangers that are keeping him alive. So we shouldn't have been surprised that things were bubbling over on the football pitch. You're right about Rowbottom. I mean, we speak of McNee, Jerry McNee, and his, what was a vendetta from day one against Gascoigne. Sometimes you go a wee bit of indication, but over the piece, it was just totally, totally unfair on Gascoigne. And this game kind of epitomised where we were with him, that he needed protection, but we needed him as well. You know, he was still too good a player for us to jettison, despite everything that happened to this point in the season. And it proved to be so.
Were you worried that this was going to go wrong? Because, again, we know how this finishes, and that's great. Well, you know how it finishes this season. But at this point, I can't stress enough, it isn't just the Jerry McNees and the Keevans of the world that are enjoying getting stuck into him. There are fans getting frustrated because he is just lashing out, whether that's with dissent or especially with the arms, that this guy's going to be a liability.
No, you're right. I mean, the Rangers, and I was in the fanzines as well, and the Rangers support were kind of losing patience, but my recollection is that you would then have moments that were so fantastical that you could forgive him. It was a wee bit like what we've had with Morelos over the piece, you know, where he's just went too far too many times, and you think, hey, nobody buy from him, then he does something or scores a goal or whatever. So the Gascoigne situation was pretty much the same, that he just did things that were magic, and you forgave him, and you forgot about all the bad points. So it was just Gascoigne. Would we have it any differently? I don't know. I don't think he's the same player if he's not got that edge. But there was you spoke of the fine line. It was a razor's edge, because he was so integral to us as a team that if he went off the deep end, then it was a major, major blow to our chances and everything.
Well, not long. In fact, the next week, Walter Smith would say, after all the publicity about the bad aspects of Scottish game, it would be nice to think that the focus would now move to the more positive things we saw today. It was another league game, it was another draw, but there was very little moralising after this one. Just an exhausted appreciation for one of the best Old Firm games of the era.
Boyd, who emerges with the ball, flips it through, looking for Donnelly. This is Tom. Andreas Tom's going to try one here. Oh, that is an incredible goal by Andreas Tom. Got a lot of pressure in the Celtic defence, but maybe there's something on here. Robertson starts another one of those runs. Oh, it's a great pass through by Laudrup. Still it's Robertson. What a chance here. And David Robertson. What a magnificent pass that was from Laudrup. The perfectly weighted pass. Touch from Richard Goff. This is Gascoigne. Still it's Gascoigne forcing it through. Chance on here for Laudrup. And it's a great goal. This time, it definitely counts. 39 minutes. Rangers 1, Celtic 1. John Collins starts his run. And it's gone in. Again, Goff's forward, so too is Petrich. Again, there's a fair bit of movement the far side of the box. Gascoigne strikes it in. And it's there. Super Ali does it again. He's been in the field only a few minutes. It was Gascoigne who provided the cross, and McCoy's with yet another header.
Collins. Good off by Tom, it's Collins again. Good play by Collins. Tom, a nice change of direction, challenged by Goff. This is Tosh McKinley, that's a great cross. What an incredible save by Andy Gorham from Van Hooydonk. There's a Celtic player on the ground now as Rangers mount another attack. That's a slack one by Boyd, almost allowing Solanke to come in. He's got it again. And it's gone in. That's an own goal. Rangers take the lead, but McCoy can't believe it. So Celtic with it all to do now. Tosh McKinley gives the cross. It's Van Hooydonk. And that's in. Well, this is quite incredible.
Right, where do we start with this? 3-3. Celtic, first of all, I think it should probably be a good place to start. Both Rangers and Celtic have their full strength 11s, I think. Really, really good teams out. Celtic are 4 points behind, can't afford that to go to seven. Ibrox, so they come out swinging, and Rangers have to, of course, respond to that. So you've got everything. You've got momentum swings, you get controversy, you get 6 goals that were given, 1 that wasn't, and a save that overshadows everything. The attacking players, Gascoigne, Loudrop, Van Hooydonk, Tom, all turning up. Shall we talk about the two other moments, though? Rangers thought they'd equalised when David Robertson, now reunited. This is Brian Loudrop's first game, by the way, since Dortmund. So this is the, 20th of November. 2 months he's not played any reserve football, just coming straight in to the Celtic game and linking up with Robertson as if they've been playing 6-7 games in a row. They reverse things, it's Robertson that's sent through by Loudrop and he steadies himself and scores. We all think this is a goal. It's funny just watching the TV pictures as Robertson and Loudrop are celebrating. You see Hugh Dallas's hand being raised. Now this is Hugh Dallas's first Old Firm game. Now we know that in the ground, that this goal has not been given. Somehow, despite the fact that Robertson runs past 2 Celtic defenders to get the ball, the flag by a Mr. Horan, alleged to have been previously in the Methil Celtic Supporters Club, proof that conspiracy theories are not just confined to one side of the divide. It was a ridiculous decision. So ridiculous that STV haven't noticed. Bill Smith, the stadium announcer, doesn't. He, go for Rangers, Davey Robertson. McNee and Nicholas are looking at their monitors to describe the replay. Don't notice that the game hasn't restarted in the centre circle, as was the tradition when you concede a goal. But of course, it was just a free kick. Did any of you watch? I presume all 3 of us were there. I cannot imagine the rage, the disappointment, the confusion. For 10 minutes, you think Rangers are 1-1, only for Jeremy Nee to correct that and for the producer to correct the on-screen scoreboard and take it back to 1-0. That was quite something. John?
Yeah, well, I was at the game and you saw the flag almost immediately. You thought you must have missed something, as I recall, because he knew it wasn't Robertson. And it was one of those where he's so clearly onside, you're looking for an infringement, something else somewhere. But, I mean, you talk about the rage and all of this. These things happen all through football. I mean, 2, 3, 4 seasons ago, Trevor Stephen has one chopped off when he's rot, when he shouldn't. We just don't carry that about. It's like roll up your sleeves and then Loudrop scores.
I meant the rage of those sitting in their seats at home thinking that Rangers have equalised. They thought that for 10 minutes because that's what their television is telling them.
I have no idea, but
what on earth is going on here?
Someone who can't watch telly when Rangers are on, by and large, so it wouldn't be me.
Yeah, it must have been quite something. I didn't. Yeah, they changed the score just before Loudrop pops up with that equaliser. Celtic go 2-1 ahead with a penalty, a John Collins penalty, and some might have thought Andy Gorham probably could have done a wee bit better getting down before Rangers go back on level terms again. Gascoigne cross for McCoy's header, and then he pops out a save that people will talk about for 100 years, Andy. Tom is doing well. Goff does well to block him effectively and put the ball out. Tosh McKinley, who doesn't get a lot of praise on this show, it was a great cross, first super ball. Van Hooijdonk is standing on the 6-yard line. I think he does everything right. He's got to take the ball mid-air. He's got to shape his body just to let the cross do the work, basically. So just, just let the body deflect the pace that's already on it. He's going the other way from Gorham. It's not too high, which it could easily be when he's in mid-air. So as a top striker, he's done everything. Everybody in that ground assumes that's going in. And I think everyone has to double take as to why it hasn't and what on earth have we just witnessed.
The beauty of this is in the real time, watching it in real time, because when you watch it in slow motion, it doesn't look as spectacular, but it has to be watched in real time to appreciate it. It's the reaction, but not just the reaction, it's the fact that he puts the ball out to the side of the goal for a corner, because just stopping it in any fashion would have been an achievement in itself, and if it bounced up the air and went back down for a tap-in, you would have probably still said what a save that was. But it's just the real-time reaction. Ball in for McKinley happens in a blink of an eye. And as you say, it's Van Hooijdonk was, he was a good finisher. He was a good player, and he gets his leg up. And it's so point-blank. That's the one that we all remember going for, because it was just so unbelievable. You see the reaction of Van Hooijdonk afterwards, which tells you everything you need to know. He cannot believe he has not scored. It's a pretty iconic moment in Old Firm games.
Rangers got their nose in front for the first time in the game. A Tosh McKinley own goal before Van Hooijdonk finally gets the better of Gorham for now, to make it 3-3, and a nation kind of is able to sit back and catch his breath. I mean, I was exhausted coming home that night. It was just such an incredible game. John, you and I think share our opinion on the 1986 4-4 kind of cartoon classic, which is a bit of a nonsense game of football, to be honest, John. But I think this is just a genuinely brilliant Old Firm game. There aren't many that could have that unified response, because, we're all kind of disappointed. Certainly Rangers disappointed. You're 3-2 ahead with not that long to go. But with the passage of time, certainly, again, full teams out. And it shows, I think, because it's just a properly good game. And that's three good Old Firm games we've had already this season. But, yeah, this is a classic, this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Absolutely. And I agree. Well, we both agree that for each game wasn't a game of football. But this is classic Burns, is it not? Because they can't afford to lose.
No.
And they have a fantastic... If they were 1 point ahead in that going into this game, we would have beaten them. I mean, this is classic Burns, but it's one of those games where, people would be raving, this is what British Scottish football, the best of, etc., etc. And it was. I mean, it genuinely was, and it had its controversy, it had its fantastic moments with this save from Gorham. You do go home exhausted. I remember a 3-3 game in the early 80s where you do go home and you're absolutely drained. And no, it's not euphoric, which you get and the adrenaline comes down. It's just you've seen an absolutely fantastic game, which can't say you're happy at 3-3, but I think we're still at the top of the league at this point. And you've played well. And you've probably been robbed a bit as you're making your way back and you're hearing radio reports, etc. And it just is a fantastic game of football. With it's kind of nice to see Loudrup back, to see McCoy's back. You know, McCoy's, this is his first real run in, what, 2.5 years, almost, since that thing, since he breaks his leg. And it's, to be fair, this is one of those seasons where, yeah, the Old Firm's games are pretty decent. And pretty decent in terms of either we get the results when we need it, or we play exceptional football. And this is the only game where we play exceptional football and we don't get the result. But yeah, normally you go away and you're 3-2 up and it's 3 each, or you're 2-1, they come back, you're really upset. But I was slightly disappointed, but you couldn't bring yourself to be upset, if that makes sense. It was a genuinely good game of football.
We might be upset if we were 4 points behind Eden to win and we'd gone up the road 3-2 up with just a few minutes to go and not seen it out. But yeah, it was that. One that should be probably better remembered, but you know, maybe just Rangers need to win these games. You don't get many Old Firm draws and any greatest games polls, I suppose. Listen, thank you very much. There's a lot to pack in tonight, but that's been very enjoyable. Thank you, John.
Well, thanks very much, Martin. Apologies for the coughing list.
Right. Hope you get better soon. Thank you, Andrew.
No worries. Thanks for having me back on.
Pleasure. It'd been a tumultuous 2 months following the win at Parkhead. The Champions League reality check and the frustration of that missed chance at Hampden provided further cacophony around the Gaza circus, and in doing so, placed more pressure on the manager and squad. However, Rangers were 11 league games undefeated and 4 points clear when they visited Tynecastle on the 2nd of December. It was Gascoigne's last league game before his domestic ban commenced, and he signed off in style with a goal and a maestro's performance as Rangers won 2-0. The doubt still remained, however, and the fact that he would go on to be the undisputed player of the year says a great deal about the player's skill and resilience, as well as his manager's guidance and pastoral instinct. When Gascoigne phoned on Christmas morning to complain about loneliness, he was soon picked up and brought into the Smith family home for dinner. He would repay that love and kindness, which is really all that Gascoigne ever needed, inside a matter of months. Perhaps that Aberdeen fiasco at Ibrox, his most reckless day on the park for Rangers, domestically at least, wouldn't have happened at all if Smith had been in the dugout. Instead, that weekend, Walter was in the warmer climes of South America to watch another player whom he felt could make that vital difference at the top level. If, of course, he had all the paperwork in order. Until next week, bye for now.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.